This is 7-5 Radio with Walter Yerkew and Peter Scoop Stanton. This is the radio show that will break your neck if your neck needs breaking. And here are the hosts of 7-5 Radio, Walter Yerkew, star of the biggest documentary movie ever made, The 7-5, and Peter Scoop Stanton, who starred in To Catch a Predator.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, one and all. This is Peter Scoop Stanton on 7-5 Radio. We are red hot and freezing. We are live. It is March 12th, 2022. It is approximately 25 degrees outside the District of Columbia. Walter, are you with us tonight? And I think Mr. Yerkew was running late. He was at a shopping mall and he got ravaged by teenage fans, but we'll worry about that later. But anyways, first order of business, as always, we want to remember those members of the law enforcement community who were murdered in the line of duty. Tonight, we remember Corporal Benjamin Cooper of the Joplin, Missouri Police Department, end of watch, March 8th, 2022. And we want to remember Police Officer Jake Reed of the Joplin, Missouri Police Department, end of watch, March 11th, 2022. Officer Reed and Corporal Cooper were responding to a call of a disorderly male subject. Subsequently had a weapon, started returning fire, and killed both of these heroes. Fortunately for him, he is dead and he is in the ground. Second order of business, we want to say hello to Little Billy Keebler and the men and the woman from the Yonadosis, New York Fire Department. Anyways, tonight we have a special guest. She is a retired member of the service. She moved from Gotham to Dixie and is the host of the Southern Sense podcast, available everywhere and then some. And 7-5 Radio welcomes and the radio Chickadee Ubellis. And how are we doing tonight?
I'm just Ducky, this little chickadee.
Oh, did I pronounce your last name correctly?
Yes.
Outstanding. I practiced when Led Zeppelin was playing. But anyways, tell us a little bit about your podcast, because I just happened to come across your podcast. I was like, wow. How did you come up with the name Southern Sense, even though you're from New York?
I may not have been born in the South, but I got here as soon as I could. And Southern Sense is just basic common sense, and we don't take any nonsense. That's as simple as that. Actually, my late husband came up with the name.
Oh, because, you know, I listen to your accent. You're, like, born and raised in the five boroughs, and the name of the podcast is Southern
Sense. Not born and raised in the five boroughs. I was from Long Island, New York. And I'm one of the few
Long
people
Island.
To put the G on long, which I got razzed by speech therapist in school. But I said, the word is long, L-O-N-G. Well, when you say it's Long Island, no, it's Long Island. Boy, did
right.
we have
well,
a fight.
Right. I lived in Long Island twice through my adventures. And Walter, he also used to live on Long Island. I got a good buddy from college that lives out in Long Island. He's way out, like, past the Hamptons. But anyways, how did you get the nickname the Radio Chick Adee?
Well, I had the Radio Chick. Again, my late husband gave me the moniker. And I've been doing this broadcast from 2010. And out of the blue, another radio female host out of New York. I will not mention any names, but she claims
Sarah Miller?
Like I said, I won't name any names, but I got some rather nasty emails telling me to cease and desist. Now, I do this for fun. I'm not raking in a ton of money, and I can't tell you how big my audience is. And from whoever is telling me that they're broadcasting, I get ranging numbers. I don't know. And actually, I honestly don't care. But we went back and forth with these nasty things. And she claimed she had it copyrighted, even though my Southern Sense logo is copyrighted. And I said, all right, we'll compromise. You be the Radio Chick, I'll be the Radio Chickadee. And she came to that compromise. So that's how I ended up with it.
Right. You know what? I'm thinking of who it might be, but I'll worry about that later. But anyways, like yourself, myself, Walter, and our buddy Jim Lance, who retired from the Bridgeport, Connecticut Police Department, moving from north of the Mason-Dixon line to Dixie. What made you come down to Dixie?
No snow.
No
actually,
snow.
Actually, no. Honestly, there were several things. We saw where it used to be Suffolk and Nassau County were the bastions of conservatives and Republicanism. We saw a shift in the politics. We saw Hillary Clinton be elected as senator. When she was running, I made a promise. And I said, before she's sworn in, we're out of New York. Then you compound it by the increase in taxes and other regulations. And when I retired, my husband and I opened up a printing business. And boy, did the regulations and the taxes and everything hit us full blast. And for a long while, we were the exclusive printers of tide charts and calendars throughout Nassau and Suffolk County. And some even went into Queens. And that was a very, very lucrative business. But we said, time to pack up. And we found the cost of living so much better. And for the size of the house we bought here, we would have been paying $200,000 more in New York. And we're sitting on almost an acre. Where are you going to get an acre anywhere in New York lately? Unless you've got big, big bucks. And we're living a lifestyle we always wanted to live, in a house we always wanted to live, and comfortable. And you walk past people on the street, and you're not worried about suddenly hitting you in the back of the head because you looked at them the wrong way. And people would smile and say hi to you. And it was just a more relaxed lifestyle here than having to fight and worry about keep your hands in your pocket, your head down while you walk down the street in Manhattan. I'm sorry. That's not how
right.
we should be living.
Right. Exactly. And, you know, I end up
Hello?
Stopping at Mason Dixon.
Hello.
Oh, Walter, nice of you to join us.
My limo driver took a wrong turn through the mountain. I didn't have a signal, so here I am.
I assure you the limo driver just didn't run out of gas.
It actually was a she, so.
Oh, hey.
In other words, his wife.
Come on, Walt. This is a good show. Anyway, Walt,
have you ever run out of gas in your R&P when you were on a job? Because I know I did. I ran out of gas. So.
Never once.
But,
never once.
Did.
Well, yeah. Just former member of the services, what's an RMP? Because I work Transit Bureau. But anyways, Walt, say hello to our guest and the radio chickadee, Ubellus.
Good evening, Ann. Good evening, Ann. It's a pleasure.
Good evening, Walter.
Anyways, we're coming our first break, but we were talking about the big move from back home down south to Dixie. But we'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about in their podcast. And also, we will not be talking about what Walter was doing with that limo driver and that stretched Kia. This is 75 Radio. Check us out, 75radio.org. 75radio.org. Take away, boys.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas, like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness, and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by 6 corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
The Epoch newsatlettimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
Small Business Tech Guys is a team of experts ready to assist you with any service relating to growing your business. Our team specializes in information and technology, social media, general consulting, and HR. We thrive on assisting startup entrepreneurs with growing their businesses. If it's small business, it's our cup of tea. To schedule your free discovery call today, consider sbtechguys.com. We keep an eye on tech, so you don't have to. sbtechguys.com.
You're back, and Scoop is just getting back from posting insults on Twitter. This is still 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. This is Scoop Stang with a very late Walter Yerkew, and we have Ann, the radio chickadee, Yubelis from the Southern Sense podcast. Folks, I'm telling you, this podcast is everywhere and then some. But we were talking about moving from up north down to Dixie. And like we were saying before, myself, Walter, our buddy Jim is moving down to Dixie. Our other show, The Political Cesspool, which heard on this network, they're based out of Memphis. So everybody's born and raised in Memphis, and it's great. Now, unfortunately, the biggest problem I see with the great migration from up north down to the south is that all the people from back home are moving down here, and then they're turning in the same toilet that they left. What's the deal about that?
This is where we make sure that the people that do move here don't do that. I do run a tea party since 2009, and my last couple of meetings, we had a lot of new people up north coming down. And coming into the meetings, one woman had only moved here 4 days before the meeting. And I turn around and I tell every last one, the first thing we learned when we moved here to this town, and we chose this town specifically because it was a very red town, that we don't give a damn how you did it up north. And that was the first thing we learned. And before you got involved in politics, before you get involved in anything else, get the lay of the land, find out what's going on before you shoot off your big mouth. And we've had a lot of people move down here and start to shoot it off. And it's like, oh, no, you better back up a step here. That's not how we do things down here. And if you want to live over here, then you better find out how we set our community up, because that's not the way we do it. And sometimes we get battles, and my county council sees me coming. There's a collective groan. My school board sees me coming. I don't have children, but I get involved in my school board. Why? Because my taxes pay for that this education system, the school board salaries, the students, the chairs, and what they produce affects how my community grows. What you turn out from that school system will be the quality of my neighborhood. So if I want to maintain the quality of this neighborhood, I am going to make sure that we've got the best school superintendent on board. We elect the best school board members. And I've got to tell you, I went head to head this past April with the members of the school board because we were fighting them on certain mandates. And the second a friend of mine went to speak up, I hear snickering. I go to start speaking up, and I'm starting to go through my spiel, and I see the same individuals snickering. I stopped right then and there. It's like, how dare you? How dare you disrespect the parents and the taxpayers that come before you with their concerns? We know who you are that are out there snickering at us. How disrespectful. Well, we're coming for your seats in this next election. And for those who did not reprimand the ones that are snickering, you're next. And for those who did, thank you. We will support you. And then I turned to the school superintendent And I called him and I said, sir, we apologize for you having to work with this board. We're responsible because we elected them. We're changing the situation. And you know what? We've got people running for those seats. And that one individual that was snickering was at two of my meetings. I think he's going to show up at the third, and he's going to get a blast from my mind because he's looking for votes because he knows we're coming for him. And I'm going to let him know. I'm going to let him know he's not welcome anymore. I was polite. Now the time of politeness is out the window.
Well, Ann, I'm going to find out where you live, and then when I decide to leave Northern Virginia, I'll be headed your way. But we'll keep it off air because then we don't want our enemies moving there. But I could tell you, Ann, what Ann. Go ahead, Walt.
Ann, can you give us an idea in where in the hemisphere you live?
Oh, I'm in South Carolina. I'm in South Carolina. I'm not afraid to say I live in the 1st Congressional District, and we're going after Nancy Mace. I was supposed to be at the Trump rally today, but I had other obligations. Katie Arrington, who happens to be a friend of mine, wanted me on the bus, so I'd be standing there up on the bleachers behind Trump. But, I had other obligations, and I watched the whole thing. And I said, well, I was at the last one. He had North Charleston before the pandemic shut it all down. And that was a blast. And what I did was I was over there with the other media, but I was wearing a T-shirt that named my town, my Tea Party, and said for Trump. And boy, were we pissing off the media, my husband and I. And we were holding up signs because we could not get a good signal to do the broadcast. So I started walking out around the crowd. We had the signs, cops for Trump. And I had the T-shirt saying that our Tea Party is for Trump. It's like, as he pointed in the meeting, he says, don't point at me. But it was a blast. It was a blast.
Cool. See, I live in Southern Tennessee, and I can't tell you how many. I've been down here since 98, and I can't tell you how many times when I open up my mouth to speak, they say, you talk funny. And I says, no, I talk just fine. You know, we won the war. You're the ones that talk funny. I also get, you know, when I raise an issue with somebody, it's always, you know, take your damn Yankee ass home. you know, things like that. And I mean, I had a really good career down here in social work for 16 years and retired. And I pretty much was, you know, like a ghost. I mean, I raised my son down here. He was born down here. And I was a ghost up until about a year ago, and Scoop knows why. And you know, when somebody like me, or, you know, you, if you push the envelope and they don't know how to handle, you know, the envelope when it's being pushed their way, they get drastic down here. Has a lot to do with just ignorance on other cultures. I mean, you know, we're from the North, you know, we're from New York City, you know, the cultures that we knew before we became cops and the cultures that we learned when we did become cops is insurmountable compared to many people that are in, like you said, like on the board of directors or the board of education or the police departments or city hall. They just don't know how to handle when somebody that knows what they're talking about, they don't know how to handle it. And
well,
they panic. And the first thing they do is try to throw you out and yell at you. Or in my case, they arrest you. So in certain situations.
You got to leave Tennessee, honey. You got to leave Tennessee.
No.
Bless your heart.
No,
I think you moved the wrong place. Bless your heart.
I'm going to change Tennessee. I'm going to change the area that I'm in. I'm going to let them know what the rest of the world sees.
I did not have that problem. I did not have that problem because I'm in an area with a high level of retirees and military. And a lot of us came to the area because it is what it is, you know. And as a matter of fact, we were welcomed. We were welcomed with open arms. We actually came down over the Christmas holidays for 3 years straight, just looking for the right place to move.
Mm-hmm.
And when we found this, I mean, I walked in one location, happened to be at a bar, said, honey, I'm home. And yeah. that was the moment we decided this was the town. We're going to find a house here. And we did. And we mm-hmm. have been welcomed with open arms. The only people yeah. that we have a problem with are Yankees that come down here with Yankee liberal progressive ideas. And that's
oh,
when we...
Yeah. No, I agree with you. I agree with so, you. I mean, you know, I pull up to somebody at a red light down here that has New York plates on them, and I ask them, you guys plan on moving down here? I said, because, you know, they generally don't want you here, so you might as well go back north. because, you know, right now, but they don't mind the money that you spend. And, you know, like well, you said, you didn't have any kids in the school system. You know, my son went through it. You know, it's like a horror compared to what I grew up with in the 60s and 70s.
See, like I said,
did not learn it. My son doesn't learn. My son can't sign. He's 22. He didn't learn to sign his name in script until I showed him when he was 20. Because
whole nother culture here. It is a whole nother culture because they welcome you here. And mm-hmm. as long as, you know, if you have a different political view, all right, fine. I had a neighbor across the street where the first time she and I met, you know, she automatically assumed we were going to fight. And I said, no, what we have to do is learn how to speak with each other, have the conversation. And if we agree to disagree, fine. It doesn't mean we still can't be friends. I can look out mm-hmm. for you. You can look out for me. But when you find that common ground, it doesn't matter what part of the political spectrum are. They know and understand your point of view, and I understand theirs. However, if I see something wrong, I'm going to speak up. I'm not going to stay quiet. But for some reason, we just blended in. And like I said, we have been active here. I want to speak up.
All right. Stay tuned. We'll be right back, folks.
Proclaiming liberty across the land. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Kenneth Burns.
German Chancellor Olaf Scholz and French President Emmanuel Macron was on the phone with their Russian counterpart Vladimir Putin for more than an hour, pushing for an immediate ceasefire. But a French official says Putin did not show a willingness to end the war. Scholz and Macron echoed a statement from Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky, who said negotiations must begin with a suspension of hostilities. Zelensky, during a briefing, said negotiating teams had now started discussing concrete topics as opposed to trading ultimatums. He said about 1,300 Ukrainian troops had been killed since Russia invaded his country. He also said the conflict meant some small Ukrainian towns no longer exist. The Texas Supreme Court stopped the last challenge to the state's law that practically banned abortions in the Lone Star State. The Dow finished its fifth straight week with losses, losing more than 200 points Friday. This is USA Radio News.
Hi, it's Wayne Allyn-Root, and I want to tell you a real story. A husband and wife were driving home from dinner. While stopped at a light, they were suddenly surrounded by an angry mob, and the mob forced open the driver's side door, attempting to drag the husband from the car. But he reached for his Hero 2020 non-lethal weapon. He shot his attacker twice in the chest, unleashing a powerful chemical pepper irritant, forcing the attackers to back off, and the couple escaped safely. No bullets were fired, no lives were lost. I know how training and preparedness makes the difference. I've seen and reviewed many guns and self-defense products, and the Hero 2020 is one of the easiest to use, carry, and conceal. Plus, it saves lives. Hero 2020 is a high-powered, award-winning, non-lethal defender. That's why I have one in each of my cars and in multiple rooms of my home and office. To order your own Hero 2020, visit Hero2020.com. Use coupon code WAR for a special discount. Hero2020.com. That's Hero2020.com. State law restrictions may apply.
An Ohio police officer has been cleared of criminal wrongdoing in the shooting of a teenager. 16-year-old Makia Bryant was shot and killed by Columbus police officer Nicholas Reardon as she swung a knife at a young woman. Police were responding to a call to Bryant's foster home about a group of girls threatening to stab other housemates. The killing has led to a Justice Department review of the Columbus Police Department. Children trying to enter the United States will no longer be denied a chance to seek asylum. The change from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention was announced late Friday. It said that expulsion of unaccompanied non-citizen children is not warranted to protect public health. The change comes ahead of a court order that would have allowed the Biden administration to expel unaccompanied children seeking asylum under Title 42, which was introduced in March of 2020 in the early days of the pandemic. Singer Tracy Braxton has died. The 50-year-old had been fighting esophageal cancer. You're listening to USA Radio News.
Wow, you're still listening? Here's more 7-5 Radio.
And we are back. We are red hot and freezing tonight. Scoop standing with Walter Yerkew and our guest and the radio chickadee, Eubelis. And we're already halfway through the show and we're just getting started. So, and don't be too surprised if I call you about 9:58 one Saturday night, ask you to come back on. But let's switch gears a little bit, talk about the podcast. How did you get into podcasting?
Oh, geez. My husband and a friend of his were out in the garage drinking, bantering back and forth. It's like, why don't we do a radio show? Because they were listening to music and they wanted to do a show on country and blues and stuff. So I did a little research and I said, all right, fine. We can use this platform. We can set this up. But are we going to have to pay royalties for the music? And we went back and forth and some people were telling us yes, some were telling us no. So we said, well, why don't we just do a test podcast, just he and I, and see what sort of response. We're just going to pick a subject out of thin air. And our first show, which unfortunately is not, was accidentally deleted, was on flatulence. We got so many calls and so many things, but as we went through the next couple of times we did it, we got more and more calls asking about politics, and there were calls from people wanting to hear something conservative, and we just picked up the ball and started rolling with it. It went from a half hour show to an hour to 2 hours, and now I do it once a week, 3 solid hours. And it takes me the whole entire week just to put it together.
Wow. Outstanding. Now, do you have a website people can visit?
Oh, it's very simple. It's the name of the show, Southern Sense. Just put a dash in the middle, Southern Sense as in common sense, southern-sense.com.
So that's southern-sense, S-E-N-S-E, .com. Outstanding. Wow. But have you, what's been the reaction other than the people calling them about flatulence? Good, bad, indifferent? Do you get a lot of wackadoos saying that you some trash or something like that?
Well, I don't get anything posted, but I will get the trolls calling in. And, you know, once in a while you get duped because someone will, you know, try to pretend they're the guest or something like that. And it's happened twice. But, you know, when the guest does come on, I said, you should be honored that a troll thought that they had to fight you so hard, they had to do something as stupid as this. And right. I have no patience for stupid, honestly. At my age, no patience for stupid. Once I realized that it's a troll, thank you, boom, you're gone.
Right. Well, we do things a little bit different here on 7-5 Radio. We have trolls that will post things about myself or Walter, the show, whatever. We will actually post them on our website and we'll read them out loud. But one dude was talking some trash about Walter, and we read it. You know, Walter, some trash, blah blah blah. I was like, oh, by the way, I live about an hour from your house, so keep on talking there, buddy. Because I was able to find out through the ISDN provider. So you got 3 hours a week. Is it live? Is it taped? Or
I know it's live. It's all live. Rarely will I do a taped interview. I prefer to do it live because you never know what's going to happen, and I always have a lot more fun doing it live.
Right, right, right. Yeah, same thing with us. That's why we were, before COVID, we were taping, but then, you know, after COVID, working hours, this, that, another thing, and we were doing it, you know, we've been doing it live, and it's been great ever since. If I want to listen to it live, tell our listeners where they can listen to it live and put in a call in number or things of that nature, if you want.
All I have to do, again, is just go to my website and they can click on it. They can actually, what I do is a video. I haven't been able to master the thing of bringing the guest video in. So I'll do a montage of pictures and stuff. But they'll see me as we do the broadcast. So I do that up on Facebook and YouTube. I know that some other people pick it add up too. But the podcast normally is mainly done through Blog Talk Radio, but then again, it goes up into iHeart, iTunes, Stitcher, Spreaker. I mean, half a dozen other places I don't even remember. There's another one, Global Enlightenment Radio. I have someone else trying to get me to go into something that's with the Country Patriot or something like that. So I don't know where I am, honestly.
Right. Wow. Now, if we go to your website, southern-sense.com, we can follow you on social media also?
Yeah. Unfortunately, I'm having a problem getting them to keep the Twitter and Facebook up. So I'm trying to figure that out. I've got the other ones that I go on to, like Parler, Getter. I haven't linked them yet. It's a lot of work. And you know.
I know. Trust me, yeah, I know, because I'm always updating, and then we're getting kicked off of Twitter. We're coming back on Twitter, and I got to go on Twitter wearing a disguise or something like that, so forth. You got any questions to Ann about her website or a podcast?
No, I'm looking up the website right now, and it's quite informative. I noticed when you and I were going back and forth talking a little bit ago, you said, bless your heart. Down here that can mean so many things, and you realize that, right?
Yes.
You know, I had an issue where I had to tell somebody, you know, I had to give them a good old fashioned Brooklyn FU, and my lawyer said to me, he says, did you have to say it that way? And I said, well, what do you want me to tell them? Bless your heart, you know, bless your heart. I said, it means the same thing. You know, they both freedom
of
speech.
Necessarily. Not necessarily. Okay. You know, so
the way I would
have
said,
bless your heart,
honey,
but blue is not your color.
Well, apparently this one person thinks that blue shouldn't have been my color ever, but that's debatable. That's besides the point.
Right.
But yeah, the Southern attachment, you know, for me is my ex, her folks moved down here. 30 mm-hmm. years ago when they retired. So we moved down here 22 years ago, and we had my son down here, and I raised him since. And I, you know, I absolutely love it, except last night, because I was in Nashville yesterday, and it was 71 degrees. When I came home, mm-hmm. And it was down to 14, and it was freaking snowing. So this is the turning point in the South's season. You know, now tomorrow it starts getting warmer and it won't never come back. So I know it's time to get the pool ready. So the other thing that I like about the South is 95% of the people I've met down here are so nice. You know, they wouldn't step over you like in New York, like if you passed out on the sidewalk, and you know, they wouldn't step over you. You know, they did call 911. I mean, they wouldn't give you mouth to mouth or anything, but they would help you in anything you need, because I'm down mm-hmm. here in farmland, you know, with cows and stuff like that. You know, you need a tractor, you need a backhoe, you need something. Somebody has one, and they'll loan it to you, or they'll come and fix it, you know, help you themselves. So, you know, mm-hmm. I like that part. What I found out down here all along, I mean, not just in the last year or so, because I had gotten that illegal ticket, but I've always noticed that not so much the elected officials. The elected officials are okay. It's the civil servants that are in higher office that work for us are the ones that treat you the worst. And we've had a number of run-ins, not just me, I mean other parents also that are from down here. It's a good old boy system. And, you know, when you go from cop to captain because nobody else wants to be the captain without taking a test, you know, you don't learn how to be a captain, and or you don't learn how to be the city administrator. But what I heard when you were talking earlier before I broke in about going in front of the school board and people giggling, man, I've had that also. And I would turn around and I'd make their faces turn beet red, and I would call them out on it. You know, what's funny? You know, tell me, you know. Well, you know, I'm a humorous guy. I like a good joke, just like the next guy. What's so funny? And of course, mm-hmm. then they start looking at the tops of the shoes to see if the shoes are dirty or anything. So I said, be quiet and let me speak. You don't want to let me speak. Arrest me.
You will have pockets like anywhere. That. Well, I live outside of the city, So I know once I go into the city, they now have a new police chief who had Biden signs on his front yard. Previous police chief was definitely not that way. The county sheriff is a good conservative, and he runs his department very well. But we get a lot of people coming in from the military or coming down. Matter of fact, believe it or not, I was on a first date just a few weeks back, and the gentleman did not have a rear license plate. You know, I noticed it when I met him, and the restaurant I wanted to go to was closed, and I said, follow me. But I was getting ready to say something to him about, you know, missing a license plate, but he got in the car and started to drive, and I said, all right, when we hit the license plate, I'll talk to him. Well, sure enough, county sheriff, gumball lights go on, pull him over. I have to swing past, come back around to where he got picked up. The cop that pulled him over, former NYPD Highway Patrol, who I personally knew. And never know who you'll run into down here.
So, anyways, we got one more segment. We'll come back. We'll have we'll bring back our old stories from RMP Confession. This is 75 Radio on Libby News Radio Network. Take it away, boys.
Have you ever heard of Loving Liberty Ladies? Well, the Loving Liberty Ladies are here to help you learn our American heritage and the way it affects today's society. The Loving Liberty Ladies also have a discussion guide called Proclaim Liberty. And with this guide, you can start your own group in your hometown. Get yours today on our website at lovingliberty.net. Look for our lesson supplements, too. They're free. To hear all the special offers and to join the fight for freedom and liberty, please go to lovingliberty.net.
The spirit of the American West is alive and well in Range Magazine, the award-winning quarterly devoted to the issues of the American West. Each issue contains informative articles, breathtaking imagery, as well as the culture of cowboy spirit today, and gift ideas like this year's Buckaroo calendar. Order online from rangemagazine.com. Loving Liberty Network salutes the spirit of the American West at rangemagazine.com.
This is a battle between truth and deceit, a battle between forces that would enslave this country in darkness and between a media that wants to present you with the truth.
We are being censored. America's news outlets no longer provide the truth. 90% of news outlets in the United States are controlled by six corporations. The mission of the Epoch Times is to chase the truth, to ground all statements in fact.
TheEpicTimes.com.
We at Freedom Factor have a passion for our shared American heritage and want to help restore some of that American pride by emphasizing the documents that made us Americans. Our goal is to put pocket constitutions into the hands of every American and in every school. This effort requires your help. Order your pocket constitutions and browse our website at freedomfactor.org to learn how you can help spread the message of freedom. Read it, know it, share it. FreedomFactor.org.
This is 75 Radio with Walter Yuku. I mean, Walter Yurkow. I mean, Walter Kiwi. Here's Walton Scoop.
And we are back. This is Scoop Stanton with Walter Yuku in. And the Radio Chickadee Eubelis. Real quick, I looked up who the radio chick is, and it is not, repeat, not Carol Miller. Carol Miller is an icon, but the radio chick was part of the WNEW change format, and she's some trash, more or less. And you smoked this lady's boots. But anyways, we're our last segment, which, of course, proves that this is the fastest hour in talk radio. But and what I like to do is that we have former members of law enforcement come on, other than Walter and myself, and Jim Lance, who loves to talk about himself. We'll have a segment called RP Confessions. If you think of a war story, something funny, something you want to share that's somewhat clean, it'd be great. So do you have anything you want to remember from back in the day?
Well, how about we showed up on a scene. A guy was lying on the sidewalk. He had a bullet wound. He had his pants down, and Central wanted to know where the heck he was shot. And without even thinking of it, I said he was shot in his I'd say arse.
And his
ass. And his shot the ass. So that went over the air?
Yeah.
Nice.
And you know you're not supposed to curse. Or another set of shots fired. This is near the BQE, and there was a nightclub there. And we pull up, and we hear the gunfire. So we call it in. We hear shots fired. And I had a rookie riding with me, midnight shift. And he's going, shots fired. And he goes, and he says the whole thing out, effing shots fired. I am cracking up as I'm driving into this gunfight going on. And they could hear me laughing. He's like, why are you laughing? I was like, because you just cursed over the air and someone's going to, you know, pull you in. And sure enough, he was written up in the disciplinary book for cursing as we were driving into a gunfight. I mean, some of the stupid, stupid stuff they would pull on you just is amazing. You know, and some of the tricks we used to pull on each other, like leaving bales of hay in the front seat or something like that, or you know, the vent along the front windows, you put talcum powder in. So when they turned it on to put the blower on, you get a face full of, you know, talcum powder. Some of the stuff we used to pull, you know, crazy stunts.
Right, right. But it was all a good fun because, you know, when you call that 13, everybody, and I mean, everybody, include that MOS with talcum powder all over his bald head, would be flying down the street to make sure everything's okay.
But, part about that arrest was, is that we did get the shooter. He was wearing a Miami Vice lime green suit in March. Everyone's wearing dark parkas, gloves, and he's standing there in the middle of the street, and I could see the flames coming out of the tip of his hand, so I couldn't actually see the gun at that distance, but I could see that I knew he was firing a weapon. So right. I ended up having to go to court, and so the defense attorney is trying to rip me 15 ways sideways. Of course, I'm there on my RDO, so I'm wearing a dress. And the judge was barely, you know, just looking at me like, and then he starts to berate me, the defense attorney. And the judge turns around and goes, stop berating this young lady. You asked her that question again. So I said, I wore the right dress. he ended up getting convicted. I didn't lose very many cases.
You were sitting, the witness chair was a little bit lower than the bench, huh?
A little bit. It was professional attire. It honestly mm-hmm. was.
From above, you know, from like from above, it was. Yeah, he was professional.
It was demure.
Let's keep it moving.
He probably had the same dress on underneath his robes. You know, you never know.
Well, nice. Do you remember when they put a little switch under the dashboard that would pop open the trunk? It was the first time they did it. And we had this one sergeant. He always didn't have all the marbles going on in his head. And a certain PBA delegate who is very high in the PBA now was driving with his partner. So the sergeant goes to check the trunk for Christmas packages, shopping and stuff. And they pop the trunk, give him the key, pop the trunk. I hand the key back to the driver, and that goes to close the trunk as the sergeant's trying to close it. Well, this individual pops again, tries to close again, pops it again, and they go back and forth. This trunk is broken, and we're dying. We're dying. We are absolutely dying. I will not say who it is. Like I said, he's very high up in the PBA.
I don't think you have to say who it is. He's a high-ranking member of the PBA. I think I know who she's talking about.
If people outside of the metropolitan New York City area, the PBA is the Patrolman Benevolence Association. But or Walt, you got any questions, comments, concerns to our wonderful guest?
Nothing, dear. She's got a couple of good R&P stories there. I know we've talked about a few of mine and a few of yours also. Probably better not mention on live radio. But it wouldn't really matter. Statute of limitations is long over with anyway. Our R&P stories, you know, go from A to Z. You name it, it probably happened in an R&P or very close by. You can't beat a good R&P story. I mean, you know, six cops, you know, need to get together and write their R&P stories in their part of the city. And you can't
throw out the foot post. You really can't throw out the foot post, because the first one happened the day on my very first day at a police academy. And the building they put me in front of was the building Serpico was shot in. Little tiny old me, little tiny white girl in a uniform. They thought I was the dumbest thing on the block. And within the first 2 hours, I had my arrest. First 2 hours. And the guy just walked up to me, and it was just begging. You know, he was trying to flirt with me, of all things. And it's like, as I'm talking to him, all right, what's your name? I run his name. You know, you get a warrant on you. Click, click. And the drug dealers are laughing. And I said, it's going to take me about half an hour to process this, maybe 15 minutes. When I get back, don't be here, because I'm coming for you next. They weren't there.
Yeah. The power of cops of years ago, you know, and, you know, nowadays, you know, you can't walk down the street, you know, without being cursed at or shot at or anything else. And,
oh, I've had that.
You know, without cause. Without cause is what I'm talking about. I mean, you know, without cause. But, you know, the 7-5 was pretty hot. You were in the 9-0?
Yeah, but they flew us into the 7-5 many times.
Was an FIU in the 9-0, or was that in the 9-4 in Brooklyn North? I can't remember which was in. I think it was in the 9-0. Isn't 9-0 where emergency services was in Brooklyn
ESU
North?
Yes, ESU-8. ESU-8, yeah, and then we had the detectives and the squads upstairs and everything.
I remember I had to do a GO-15 to the 9-0 one day.
Yes.
Because some internal affairs cop, field internal affairs cop saw me and Michael Dowd sitting in his private car on post in the 7-5. And it's from Holy. Yeah, the guy with the rotten teeth. And he says, I don't care what you were doing in that car with Dad. He says, but just tell me Dad was drinking. That's all I want to know. And here I am 5 months out of the police academy. And of course, you know, we weren't drinking, you know, of course not. We weren't drinking, you know, so, and then he tried to burn me for not coming back to post, because I went to meal and I never came back, and I didn't. I signed out and I went home, and he looked foolish when I told him that. I says, I signed out and I went home. And, you know, with the lawyer, it was from, what office was that up there on Horace Harding? I can't remember. The law office.
Well,
that
I
we
retired
used to
in 96. I retired in 96, so a lot of this was on after me.
Let's see. This is in 88. Richie Hartman's office used to defend us when we had to go for GO-15s and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And the lawyer that was with me that day, you know, just laughed in this cop's face, you know, this internal affairs guy's face. He says, you think this guy didn't come back to post and he went, you know, go jerking off somewhere? I said, he got permission from his sergeant to go home, and he went home. Well, why don't you do your yeah? He really climbed on him, and that was. And after that, I never got Tromboli out of my back pocket. He was on my ass for the next 4 years. So
no, well, I was lucky. I mean, there was a couple of times that my name turned up there, and there was a couple of individuals that just had a fellow cops that had a hard on, and they kept on making these accusations against me, but. One of the guys in IAB I grew up with. He was a neighbor from across the street from us. So I was best friends with his sister. So he knew me. So when they made the accusations, it's like, there's no way that she could have done this. I know her. Right. This does not sound like her. And the other one had been my NSU training lieutenant. And again, he worked with me all through probation. He rode with me. He knew the type of person I was. So when they made the accusations, and the two of them were a team, so it's like every time my name came up and they would come in, they'd say, I got to pull you in, and then dismiss it. I says, I understand. No big deal. I mean, sometimes you've got a fellow officer that will work against you. It doesn't necessarily mean someone from IAB. But
right.
I've had good. I've had bad. I mean, I've been through the trial room and I lost 2 weeks for a stupid car accident. So, yeah, I've been on all ends of it. I've had a CO that would not let me go into K-9 because he just did not like me. And I ended up on many, many a foot post in front of many a doorway. So, yeah. So I've seen both sides of it.
Yeah, and you know when I get down here, you know, because most everybody knows that I used to be on the job in New York, and you know they always think it's glamorous and exciting. You know, I started walking off a post when I first got out of the station at the academy. I couldn't see my shoes because the grass was so deep.
Right. But anyways, on that note, and it's been absolute pleasure and honor to have you come on board. And right after the song, I'll give you a phone call. But anyways, this is Peter Scoopstan with Walter Yiku and the Chicken Radio Chickadee Ubellus reminding you, you can make a difference. Go out and make it. See you next week, everybody.
This is James Edwards for 7-5 Radio. For those who work the streets and the jails, thanks for keeping us safe. So long, everybody.